Hey, it's Will Crockett here, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with, that's right, Sharky James.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 48. Was the Canon EOS 80D worth the wait? In this episode, Canon announces the 80D, but is it compelling? Creative real estate photography raises ethical questions. ZY Optics releases a speedy new lens. A woman in Nigeria stumbles into a modeling contract. And listener Joe wants to know what's up with Flickr and where to sell his photos. All that and more in episode 48 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much for opening the show, Will. I greatly appreciate it. If you've been around for some time, you know who Will Crockett is, and you definitely recognize his voice. He's not only one of Chicago's top photographers, he's a leading photo educator, having taught for Creative Live and others, has done work for the Pentagon, and many manufacturers have turned to Will for his take as they develop many of the top products that photographers count on. He's also a really great guy, and like me, he's from Chicago, so you gotta love that, right? Or at least I do. If you'd like to see what Will's up to, head on over to willcrockett.pro. Or hit the show notes for the link. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 48 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. We also greatly appreciate you telling your friends on social media and wherever else, and that helps us greatly, so thank you so much for that. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. My first decent digital camera was a Canon 30D, then a pair of 40Ds, on up to their way more expensive offerings. Well, on Thursday, February 18th, 2016, the day this podcast episode is released, in fact, the company announced the EOS 80D, and as you might expect, it's a pretty solid camera. Packing a newly developed 24.2 megapixel APS-C size CMOS sensor with a DIGIC 6 processor, this new body features 45 cross-type AF points, updated dual-pixel AF for live view and video recording, and of course includes Wi-Fi and GPS. The 80D ups the ante from its predecessor, the 70D, by more than doubling the more sensitive, more accurate cross-type AF points, and is able to focus down to the amazingly dark -3 EV at the center point, and dual-pixel AF now allows for continuous focusing, with all pixels being able to phase detect focus while shooting stills. As for video, the 80D can now shoot 1080p at 60 frames per second. If you were hoping for or needed 4K video, this body isn't for you because they decided not to put 4K in the 80D. This camera's native ISO range is an impressive 100 to 16,000 ISO and is expandable on up to 25,600, although you're unlikely to use it because it's going to be pretty noisy that high in a crop sensor body, of course. Like the 70D, it'll shoot up to 7 frames per second, so while that's not a speed boost, remember that that's going to be plenty fast for most people, and this thing is cranking out 24.2 megapixel files. That's 4 more megapixels than the 70D, so to maintain that speed with this higher resolution sensor is pretty nice, I think, and of course they needed to maintain that. The 80D has an approximately 100% coverage viewfinder, a 3-inch fully articulating touchscreen LCD, and if all this sounds good to you, you'll be able to pick one up sometime in March 2016 for $1,199 US for the body only, or $1,799 when bundled with the updated Canon EFS 18-135mm f3.5-5.6 IS-USM kit lens. Now, I think this is a nice upgrade to the 70D, so don't get me wrong, and it's certainly worth considering, but I don't think that there's anything earth-shattering in this update, do you? Nothing that anyone is going to be like, whoa, can you believe they put that in the 80D? Yeah, I can't think of anything either. Canon and Nikon usually don't do that in these kind of updates. You know, we recently saw the wow factor when Nikon announced the D500, but people were waiting years for something like that. Sadly, Canon didn't really wow anybody with the 80D. It's going to be a nice upgrade. It's going to be a camera that you're going to consider maybe over the 70D, or maybe just go for the 70D and save some money. Now, in addition to the 80D, were a couple of interesting and very telling announcements. The first being Canon's new PZ-E1 Power Zoom Adapter, which will go for roughly $120 US, and the DM-E1 Shotgun Mic, which comes in at about $249. Okay, I think it should be fairly obvious by now that Canon is targeting budding filmmakers here, not super serious filmmakers, ones that are kind of like dipping their toes in the water. For the more serious stuff, Canon, of course, has an entire line of cinema cameras and all kinds of accessories for them. Now, while the 80D lacks 4K capability, for those that this body is aimed at, I think that's going to be okay for them. If you're super serious about video these days, though, you're thinking 4K to at least future-proof yourself for a few years. This camera, it's not giving you that. The power zoom adapter and that shotgun mic are all about filmmaking. Now, of course, there's better mics out there in the marketplace, but if you're a Canon loyalist, you may choose the DME1. But I think it's the power zoom adapter that's pretty nifty here. You place it beneath your lens and it gives you that old school TW rocker switch. You remember those from the camcorder days, right? T for tight, W for wide. Now, of course, we're going to see how these things work out once they're in the marketplace and people put them through their paces. But you got to give Canon credit, I think, for A, doing something different with that power zoom adapter, and B, for realizing that people are actually shooting video with their prosumer bodies, right? And also, that there's money to be made by serving that market. And that's what it's about, of course. Now, if they really wanted to hit a home run, they would have put 4K video in the 80D. But they didn't. It's worth noting that many other bodies at this price point have that. So for me, that's a bit of a swing and a miss right there. But if video is important to you, don't even worry about it. All in all, nice offerings from Canon. Not earth-shattering, but nice. But I think you're going to see a lot of people waiting for that 7D Mark III. Because that's likely to be more of a two-run homer, while this 80D is more of a double. Next. I think we would all agree that truth in advertising is important. And as photographers, how you photograph and edit something can really change how it's perceived, right? But then someone sees that thing in person, or in another photographer's photo, and that's when things become a problem. Well, that's exactly what's happened, as a photo of a home taken in a suburb of Sydney, Australia, has caused quite a stir online due to what wasn't seen more than what you could actually see in the photo. Specifically, a ginormous water tower right behind the three-bedroom brick home. This is something you just can't miss. I mean, this isn't a block or two away. It is practically in their backyard. You could hit it with probably something even fairly light, not even a rock. That is how close it is. Now, if you have a look at this home using Google Street View, it's pretty obvious what happened here. The photograph was taken from pretty darn close to the home with a wide-angle lens, and from that perspective, surprisingly, the giant eyesore that is the water tower can't be seen. That's some pretty creative photography right there. If you can hide something that's, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 feet high, you're doing a pretty good job. But is it ethical? That's what people are trying to determine. Since the roof can't be seen in the photo, you can tell exactly how it was shot. I mean, it was pretty darn clear that this was deliberately photographed in such a way to completely hide that water tower. So of this, the real estate company Ray White, which, like the water tower, is huge in Australia, tells news.com.au, quote, "The photos in question were not taken by a Ray White contracted photographer, but were instead supplied by the owner from a previous marketing campaign with another agent. Despite this, it would appear from our own investigations that the photos have not been photoshopped and are instead simply taken from an angle from which the house obscures the water tank," end quote. You know, that's all fine and good, but people have raised ethical arguments about such a photograph being used to advertise the home, as presumably a Ray White real estate agent at some point visited the home before listing it, right? I mean, is it possible they never saw it in person? I don't think so. To that argument, Real Estate Institute of Australia President Neville Sanders tells them, quote, "This kind of behavior falls under the broad umbrella that is the Australian consumer law. That states that a product cannot be inappropriately misrepresented in advertising material. Whilst it may appear that a wide-angle lens has been used as well as a particular angle, does it truthfully show what the general public would see if they turned up out the front?" End quote. Well, I can answer that. No. No, it does not. Not even close. Anyone who comes to check out this home is going to see a massive water tower. You just can't miss it. It is literally impossible to not see the water tower. I can't think of a circumstance under which the water tower could not be seen. And that includes fog. It is that close. So why bother to shoot the house in a way that hides its existence, right? Even if you like the house, the moment you drive up, you're going to see the water tower. And at that moment, I suspect that most people are going to feel duped. Even if you like this house from the photos you saw online, you show up, you see the water tower, and you go, yeah, that's a problem right there. So you might as well just show things as they are from the start and not hide the ginormous water tower that is practically in your backyard, because you can't hide it. So it's pointless. Now, if the New South Wales Office of Fair Trading decides that the photo is found to be false, misleading, or deceptive advertising, the Ray White Company could face a $22,000 fine. That is a good chunk of change. On Petapixel, we took a poll, and of the nearly 5,000 respondents at the time of this recording, 15% thought it was an acceptable real estate photography trick, 44% thought it was unethical but should be okay legally, and 41% thought it should be considered illegal false advertising. Like I said, anyone arriving at the house will instantly see this massive water tower. That's kind of the safeguard right there. You're not going to buy the home first without seeing it. I would at least hope not. So that's your chance to go, you know what? This is not the house for me. Next. I think we all know by now that long gone are the days where you had to buy lenses made by your camera manufacturer of choice, and there's other options available out there for you. Third-party brands are often better and offer specialty lenses that the others just don't. One of those being the ZY Optics Miticon Speedmaster 35mm f 0.95 Mark II. That's right, it's not even f1, it's f.95. Available in Sony E, Fuji X, and Canon EOS M mounts, this lens is the equivalent of a 53mm lens in full-frame 35mm terms, has 30% better sharpness compared to its predecessor, the Mark I, according to the company, has less chromatic aberration, and is smaller as well as lighter. Thanks to its 0.95 aperture, of course, this lens is a champ in low light conditions, albeit with very narrow depth of field, so make sure you're focusing carefully. It has a clickless silent aperture ring, which is going to make it great for shooting video, a durable metallic enclosure, a 9-blade aperture, and can focus as close as just 1.15 feet. If this all sounds great to you, you're able to pick one of these fast lenses up right now for $599 US from the ZY Optics website. I'm sad to report that longtime respected photojournalist Bill Snead has died at age 78. Bill Snead, veteran of UPI, National Geographic, and The Washington Post, passed away as a result of his battle with cancer. He began his career as a photography assistant at a newspaper in Kansas while still in high school and went on to cover a diverse range of assignments throughout his amazing career, everything from wars to Super Bowls and everything in between. Among his many prestigious awards, he won Newspaper Photographer of the Year from the White House News Photographers Association, was a runner-up for the Pulitzer Prize, and was loved by his colleagues. Of his passing, famed photographer David Kennerly said this on his Facebook page, quote, Snead was a wildly talented shooter and an even better person. He and I were roommates in D.C. when he called me and asked if he could stay for a couple of days. He was there for 3 months. Those were not dull days. Snead and I shared the Vietnam experience both as photographers and photo bureau chiefs for UPI. He beat me over there by a few years, and we both lived to tell about it. He had a voice meant for radio and a personality that should have been on Broadway, but he was first and foremost a photographer, editor, and wonderful friend to all who knew him. I'm really going to miss him. End quote. The great Bill Snead, dead at age 78. R.I.P., brother. If you're a doctor or dentist looking for something fancy to hang around your neck, and for some reason a Leica just isn't luxurious enough or exotic for you, you might be happy to hear that the Russian Zenit camera is coming back. The Rambler News Service reports that at a press breakfast held in Moscow recently, the Russian state corporation Rostec, which develops, makes, and exports high-tech products, said of this product announcement, quote, This is a very high-demand product. We want to make a luxury device analogous to the Leica, end quote. Rostec owns an optical factory in the city of Krasnogorsk that during the Soviet era produced millions of still photography and movie cameras using the Zenit brand. Launched in 1953, Zenit went on to sell millions of cameras across the decades, and the incredibly popular Zenit E alone had over 12 million units made. That is a lot of film cameras, and I'm sure you can find one or two or maybe a million or so of those on eBay. In 2004, production ceased with the Zenit XM Plus, but now, a little over a decade later, production is going to crank up again, but likely in much lower quantities, much higher quality, and a ginormous price tag, as they're positioning this as a luxury camera, as they've said. There's no word on when we're going to see this hit the market, nor how much they're going to go for, but they're probably going to be more than you or I are going to be interested in paying, I'm guessing. Next ski. What happens when you stumble into the frame during a pop star's photo shoot and steal the show? Well, you end up with a life-changing modeling contract. That's exactly what happened recently in Nigeria, as a 27-year-old woman whose name that I'm not even going to try to pronounce because I'm totally going to butcher it, was walking down the street with a whole lot of loaves of bread balanced atop her head when she ended up in the frame with English pop star Tiny Tempa. Now, you might remember his song Written in the Stars from a few years ago. Nigerian photographer and singer Ty Bello, who did this shoot, wrote of the photo, quote, "Beautiful. Who is she? Everyone has been asking if this lady is a model. It was just perfect coincidence. She happened to be walking by while I photographed. It happened so fast. She definitely should be a model. I'm happy to help her build a portfolio if she's interested. She's so beautiful and photographs so well. I'll find a way to track her down somehow. You guys can also help." End quote. Well, with it being 2016 and everyone connected to everyone, it seems, it didn't take long and the mother of two was identified. Bello got in touch with her and did a cover shoot for This Day Style magazine, and the photos are stunning. The photographer found out that the woman was originally a hairstylist and had moved to the larger city of Lagos, where she became a bread seller. Now, sadly, her husband had to stay behind with her 5-year-old child while she moved to the big city with her younger daughter, but I think things are going to change for her drastically now. The photos of this woman have gone viral in Nigeria and around the world, and as a result, she was just offered a modeling contract which will significantly improve her financial situation. Bello told the Huffington Post, quote, "She's really inspired so many people out here in Nigeria and apparently across the globe. It's all so surreal." End quote. Like I always say here on the show, photography is powerful. This woman wanders into a photo and her life is going to change forever now. And hopefully now she'll be reunited permanently with her husband and daughter. That has to have been really hard on her. Can you imagine? I just can't. It's just horrible. So it's nice to hear a story about a photo changing someone's life for the better for once. Today's listener question comes from Joe, who sent in his question via our voicemail widget.
Hi, I'm Joe from Skagit County, and I was wondering, what do you think about the future of Flickr, and also, do you have a particular website you recommend to market my best photos for sale? I really am concerned about the future of Flickr after some of your postings, Petapixel, and wonder what my options are. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your question, Joe. I greatly appreciate it. This is just a guess, but I don't think we have to worry about Flickr just yet. I think it's going to be quite some time before Flickr is gone. It's massive and has an incredibly large user base, which is still very active, as you know. And that's not something you just get rid of. I think Flickr is still a valuable asset. So while its owner, Yahoo, may not be throwing a lot of resources at it, I could see them selling it off to someone who will. So while the future of Flickr is unknown, as large and as active as it is, I don't think we're going to see it go away anytime soon, so I wouldn't worry about it. Now, as for where to market your photos, I think you need to be everywhere that you can reasonably be these days. If you have them all in one place, then you have to hope that people somehow find them, and that's really difficult. Now, I don't have a specific recommendation for where to sell your photos, but I don't think it really matters anymore. The big thing is getting people to those photos. So having a be everywhere strategy is a good one. But you know what? The days of having photos for sale online and making good money are largely gone. There's just too much out there. Too many sites with too many photos and not enough people buying them. Everyone expects things to be free these days. I mean, look at what it's done for the micro stock market. Many people who were making nice livings, really well-known people even, that were selling their photos through microstock sites have left that behind because it just wasn't as lucrative as it used to be. I think that in 2016 and going forward, your best bet is to get people to become fans of your work and you as a personality and to show them where they can buy your photos. Build your social media presence primarily on Instagram, then Facebook and Twitter. Post only your best work. Make people fans of that work, and you might be able to sell more photos that way. Otherwise, you're just relying on people to somehow stumble across your photos online through a search or whatever, and that's really going to be hit or miss, I think. You know, here's an example of what can be done on Instagram. I currently have about 11,500 followers on Instagram, LensShark, by the way, and not even a full day ago, I posted a photo with his permission by the amazing Michael A. Anderson of North Carolina. You may recall that he opened episode 37 for us. Anyhow, it hasn't even been a day as I record this, and that photo has received 2,200 likes. Now think about that for a second. That's 2,200 people who liked the photo enough to double tap it. You know, many thousands of others probably saw it, but just, you know, when they're going through their feed and didn't actually double tap it to like it. And that is huge exposure right there. How many of us ever get thousands of views on a single photo? And especially in one day. I mean, imagine what it's going to get over the course of years. And if your photo has enough appeal, maybe they'll want to buy a print of it, and you can really make some decent money that way. And you know what? As a result of me posting that photo, people went over and followed Michael on Instagram. And he's now at about 20,000 followers. That is incredible. He also has 25,000 on Facebook, too. I mean, these are massive numbers of people that are seeing his photos. That is amazing. You couldn't do that 5-10 years ago, but you can now, and that is a huge advantage if you work it. So if you want to sell photos, you need numbers. You need a ton of people to be exposed to your work. You know, it's a total numbers thing. The more people that you're going to see your work, the more people that are going to buy your photos, I think, especially if they're the right people. So grow your audience on Instagram and make more people aware of your work. And then from there, you can always direct them to the site of your choice where they can buy prints or whatever. This is something that I feel strongly about that many photographers should do. You know, you take photos and you post them because you want people to see them, right? So work at getting more people to see them. And it's really not that hard to do. For Instagram, I highly recommend an app called Crowdfire. You know, it's a great way to build your audience with real people. And that's the key here, real people. This isn't about looking like you have a massive following. This is about building your following of actual, real people who will see your work, like it, and hopefully buy some prints. With that Crowdfire app, you can more intelligently find people who might appreciate your photography and help you grow your audience. Now, I don't at all recommend buying followers. That is completely useless to you. You don't need fake people. You need actual people. Facebook ads could be another way also, but that needs to be highly targeted. You know, that's something that Mike Anderson is an expert at. He famously used Facebook to grow his photography business there in North Carolina and has even gotten the attention of Facebook, the company. And I think it was about 6 months or so ago that they had Mike out to their headquarters in California. He was doing such a great job of promoting himself using Facebook that they were like, you know what? You need to come out here and talk about this and help promote yourself and see what we can do to help you because you're helping us as well. I tell you, if Nikon is smart, they're going to make him an ambassador someday. He's got a massive following, and that's something that manufacturers of cameras want because they want you to talk about how you're using their Nikon or Canon or Sony or whatever. So I think that's in his future someday. He also has a massive Nikon tattoo, so I don't see him switching brands anytime soon. You know, if you hit my Instagram, you can check it out. Mike is a crazy man. His tattoo is ginormous. You just have to see it. Anyhow, back to you, Joe. Build your following. And that goes for anybody who wants to make their mark. You know, you want to be signal through all the noise that's out there. There are tons and tons of photographers. And if you want to stand out and get noticed, you have to work at it. Do good work, build an audience, make your mark. I think it's the best way to go. So hopefully that helps you out. There's not a specific site that you need to be selling your photos on, I think. If someone thinks otherwise, go ahead and email me and let me know. But I think that's your best bet. Build a huge audience and then sell your photos. I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 48 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. And if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, go ahead and email me over at lenshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, where I'm Lenshark. That's L-E-N-S-S-H-A-R-K. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 49. Well, it's F8 and 250 of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.